Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
Each week, we catch up and discuss what we've been up to recently and what we've been enjoying, whether they're books, TV shows, podcasts. And then we go on and discuss a topic that we feel is really relevant and important to be discussed, but that we're not hearing a lot of other people talk about. How are you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you. Apart from freezing to death in this ridiculously cold weather.
So cold. I can't cope.
I keep getting like little pictures popping up on my like a year ago on Instagram, and it's literally me and like on the beach in Australia, and
no.
As if I needed a reason to feel more down about the current situation.
That's brutal. Instagram has kind of been trolling me with my old photos recently. It's like, oh, look at me out to dinner with my friends. Oh, look at me doing all this fun stuff or going on these trips. I'm like, oh, screw you. Like, I don't need that negativity in my life, because all I'm doing at the moment is watching movies and eating the Marmite and cheese hot cross buns from M&S.
Oh my God.
Have you had one yet?
I had one today for the first time. They are amazing.
I've never been so excited about hot cross buns in my life. Like, I love a hot cross bun, and I love that M&S do so many different types of hot cross buns. I know some people really hate that, but personally I love the excitement. And when I saw these on Instagram, I got a pack, and within 4 hours of buying the pack, I'd eaten all of them.
They are so Moorish.
I'm not ashamed of it, also not proud of that. But did you toast it, or did you have it, like, I said raw, but you know what I mean, cold.
So I actually have like a strategy. So
Ooh.
I'm trying to only have one a day, although I do feel better. There's only, not that I calorie count, but I was intrigued. They're only 187 calories per bun, which...
Yeah, they're not awful. Yeah. I think it's because they're savoury. They're not full of sugar. Like, hot cross buns normally are just full of sugar.
Yeah, so I've decided I had one raw today, and tomorrow I'm going to toast one. But do you have a preference?
Raw.
Cool.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I toasted it and it made the Marmite taste a bit bitter. I know Marmite is quite bitter, but I would stick to the raw.
The reason I love them, and I think that's why I liked it raw, is I don't know if you've ever had one, and they were really big in Australia, but like the Marmite scrolls, or they call them Vegemite scrolls in Australia, but no. It tasted just like that. Think of a cinnamon roll, but instead of cinnamon, it's Marmite and cheese. That's...
Oh my God, that sounds heavenly.
They were incredible, and they're only a pound at 7-Eleven. And now I feel nostalgic for Vegemite scrolls.
Oh my God, between that and the Arnott mint slices that you bought me back, that's literally all I've eaten. And I'm going to get a plane ticket to Australia as soon as I can. I'm addicted to the mint slices. Like, I have actually looked up to see if I can get them imported to the UK. They are not cheap to do. I just love them.
Could you imagine that at border control? What's your reason for visiting Australia? Vegemite scrolls and Arnott mint slices.
I mean, I think if border control tried both of those things, they would understand. They would let me leave the country for them, because I love them. The only thing we have that's similar, I think, is a mint club bar, and it's not the same.
I just can't believe you prefer the mint over the Tim Tams.
I'm not a huge Tim Tam fan. What can I say? We actually did a Tim Tam versus Penguin taste test. A, to see if we could tell the difference. It was a blind taste test. And also to see which one we preferred. And the Penguins came out on top.
I strongly disagree.
I know, it's controversial. This is the high octane stuff that we're getting up to during lockdown.
I mean, to be honest, people have just got a whole bunch of food recommendations in there, and we've not even hit our actual recommendations yet. So this is like a bonus episode.
Also, on the topic of hot cross buns, M&S are doing Plant Kitchen hot cross buns, and I honest to God would not have known it wasn't a regular hot cross bun, except for the fact it came out of the Plant Kitchen packaging.
I need to give those
they
a try.
They are so good. Oh.
On that note, would you like to share your recommendation this week?
Yes, so it's a TV show that I've been watching while eating the Marmite hot cross buns. And it is Lupin. Have you seen it? It's on Netflix.
No, I haven't.
So it's the story of a man who is, he's very inspired by Lupin, who is like, kind of like a French Sherlock Holmes. Like, I feel like if you've enjoyed Sherlock on the BBC, or you liked Money Heist, you will like this show. Like, it's an intelligent kind of crime mystery story. And he, like in the first episode, it's all about stealing a necklace, but it kind of unravels that it's a lot more than just a necklace, and it links back to his childhood and like a lot of things that went on that really shaped his life. Really interesting. And I also love that it is like, it's based on a story that's really dear to a lot of French people's hearts. Like it's a story that is really common and well known, and it's not something I'd ever heard of. And I love it when you get an insight into something like that, because you're like, oh, like that's how we feel like about Sherlock or something like that. And I've really enjoyed it. It's short. There's only about 5 or 6 episodes on Netflix. And similarly to like a lot of the shows on Netflix, it's auto-dubbed. So if you wanted to watch it in French and put the subtitles on, you could, but it's auto-dubbed into your native language. And it's just a really great show. I've really enjoyed it. We're going to finish it tonight. And it's really good escapism.
Oh, that sounds right up my street. I love anything Sherlocky. And I actually really, this is so weird, but I love having stuff in like the language that it's made with subtitles on. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do enjoy that. And it's also like, it's all set in Paris as well. So that just satisfies my craving for Paris a little bit.
I will add that to the list to watch.
Yeah, it doesn't like, the episode's like 45 minutes. So it's quite nice to squeeze them in the evening. You can get really into it.
Nice.
What is your favourite thing from the last week?
Okay, this is going to shock you, but it's music.
Oh my God.
I know.
What? I've never known you to recommend music ever.
I know.
I love this.
I know. Believe me, I've not suddenly started listening to music. I actually came across her by accident on Instagram Reels.
So you.
And I clicked on her profile, and in her profile said Scottish singer-songwriter. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So her name is Bo Anderson, and she's a singer from Edinburgh. And I just love her voice. She's in her 20s. Her, like, it's really hard to describe. Her music's kind of a mix of like hip hop, R&B, but also like 60s kind of soul. I don't know, it's like a really interesting mix. Her voice is absolutely amazing. It kind of reminds me a little bit of maybe like Jessie J and Meghan Trainor kind of vibes, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
But she's just released a new an EP called New Wave, and that's amazing. But my favorite song is one called Island, and I really do feel like you're gonna love it. It just sounds like the perfect soundtrack to summer. Like every time I've listened to it this week, which has been a lot, it just sounds like summer. It's such a good song. It really just puts me in a good mood, and I feel like once summer does come, whether lockdown's over or not, I feel like I'll just have it on constantly then as well. So highly recommend checking her out. And also, she's really funny on Instagram.
I can't wait to listen. I love discovering new artists like that.
Yeah, and I just love how, like, she's really small, but she's definitely up and coming. Like, there's loads of articles about her, like, recently in The Scotsman and Variants. Yeah, I feel like she's going to be up and coming.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, I'm going to check her out after this. And let you know what I think.
I'm excited. I feel so like pop culture-y and knowledgeable when I recommend music.
I love that you've recommended music. It's made my day. This week, we wanted to have a chat about the term girl boss and deconstruct it a little bit, because it's a term we're all familiar with. It's something that definitely started from a good place, but doesn't necessarily have positive connotations anymore, and is a term that's really dominated kind of the conversation around women in business and what successful women look like. And we know we're not alone in thinking that it isn't a great term and not one that we really want to be branded with, but we want to dig a little deeper into that and have a chat about why it is that it's not such a great term and what would be better and everything that kind of goes alongside that and how it's a bit problematic for women in business.
Yeah, I do think it's so interesting how it was a term that was meant to be, well, it was originally inspirational. Like, Sophie Amoruso, like Girl Boss, Nasty Gal, like it was such a powerful kind of label at the time. And I mean, you do still see it online everywhere as well. I feel like it's massive in the Instagram space, like Instagram posts and quotes and stuff. But I don't know. Now, I feel like there's a lot more awareness now and kind of a bit more questioning, which I think is a good thing, of why we feel the need to label a powerful, like, female professional as a girl boss.
Yeah, like, it definitely came from a good place, like you said, and the way that it was coined is because people, there wasn't a word for what people were doing, and it was a real industry shakeup. But it doesn't come across like that anymore. It hasn't aged well, I think. And as we all start to question things more, it's like, oh, but why do we need to preface anything? And there was actually a ad that got taken down by the ASA a couple of years back because it referred to girl boss. And I'm like, actually, it's sexist and patronizing. So it's not just us that think this. And I think that sums it up perfectly, doesn't it? Like, the company who used that term thought that they were going to appeal to, like, modern working women and empower them. But actually, it was kind of, it just didn't hit the tone right. Like, it didn't resonate with people, because we've all moved on from that, and we can kind of critically analyze a term like that and go, because why do we feel the need to soften the concept of boss for women? You don't say boy boss. You'd never say, oh, he's such a man boss.
Yeah.
Why do we need to do that when we're talking about women?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know, boss is kind of set as the default in workspace culture. And I do agree that that needs to change, but that's a societal perception. It's not going to be fixed by putting the word girl in front of the word boss.
Mm.
I think, like, if anything, I don't know, that just makes me cringe. Like, CEO, entrepreneur, like, all of that. It's very, like you said, you would never, ever call a man boy boss. I think it's putting girl in front, to me, is like, girl means like a 12-year-old. Like, why are we infantilizing a powerful woman?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, is it girl boss and not female boss or woman boss? Because it almost makes someone seem smaller, like less serious, pink and fluffy, like all of those associations with just, like you said, being a child. So even if someone is even if they're a really successful woman in business or in any industry, you almost have to make it more palatable for the masses, because women still can't be seen to be thirsty for success and power and going after things, even though it's like, oh, women in business should be so powerful and women should go after everything and have it all. We don't actually, as a society, endorse that or feel very comfortable with that. So we need to say, oh, she's a boss, but let's put girl in front of it.
That's the problem with it now. It's almost become contradictory in itself, because although it got introduced because they're saying, oh, well, boss historically means a man and we want this word that, like, represents women, you're actually suggesting that women can't be a boss in the traditional sense that we've associated with men. So then you've ended up, like, I think that's why girl boss makes me so uncomfortable now, because now it's become associated with that image of women who, you can be sexy but don't be empowered, and you can be confident but not too confident. Like, do you know what I mean? You can't be a bit too much, like putting a kiss on the end of an email so you don't come across as too demanding from someone who should actually just be doing their job. Like, it's almost like it's supposed to soften things a little bit, which defeats the whole point of feminism and equality in the workplace anyway.
Yeah, like, if you're qualified to do the job and you're good at your job, that's end of. Like, it shouldn't come into it whether you're a boss or a girl boss, or even though, I mean, I don't love the word boss. Like, I think girl boss is kind of like another way that we don't call someone bossy, because we're like, oh, bossy's a bad thing, and that's a whole other thing. But, like, it's not bad for women to be assertive and powerful and have opinions and, like, demonstrate their expertise in an area. And yet, even when we've worked so hard for something and we are so knowledgeable and we know what we're doing, we've got a track record of really, like, bringing the numbers to the table, that you almost still can't own that. Like, it still has to be qualified in some way. And it just makes me so uncomfortable, because it kind of then makes you think like, oh, am I too young or too small or whatever to have a valid voice here? And that's so wrong.
But like, you would never, I don't know, it's become this weird catch-all term for, I don't know, women who don't need a man and become a female business owner. And I feel like that's why there's a problem with it, because it has become associated. I mean, for me, I see it very associated with like the MLM culture of being a boss babe and female business owner and all of that. I mean, maybe that's just because I see it on Instagram a lot, but I do feel like it's become very identifiable with a certain section of social media and online, because there's no way you would never say girl doctor or girl engineer. Like, a woman in any profession or any career is just a professional in their industry. Like, it doesn't require prefacing it with like a gendered word to qualify their ability to do the job. So it's weird that it's been adopted by this certain section of sort of online social media, I don't know, that boss babe hustle culture, that just doesn't sit right with me.
I know what you mean. It kind of feels to me like it's almost like a marketing term, like a package that you buy into, and it perpetuates this like life of independence and financial independence and being great at what you do and not breaking a sweat while you do it. And I know Sophie Amoruso like worked bloody hard. Like, what she achieved was amazing. And there are so many women out there who do work really, really hard, but that isn't the image I think of when I hear and see girl boss used. It's more like shiny hair, you're in your pink suit and you're kind of sitting there perfectly made up and you're like knocking everything out the park, but you're not breaking a sweat and you're, you know, you're the perfect weight, the perfect size, you look perfect. And that isn't what success looks like. That's not how you get to a place where you have a very successful career, because you have to make sacrifices. You have to work hard. It is long days. It is working, like, it is putting in extra time. It is committing and having those difficult conversations. And I think we're selling ourselves short as women to pretend that doesn't happen, but it's also not a realistic thing to aim for. You're not inspiring people in the right way. You're getting them to chase after something that isn't real.
You're definitely right. Like, I do feel, I mean, it's on notepads, it's on t-shirts, like, girl boss is sold as like a brand now, which I do just think, well, one, it just discredits all the hard work, like you said, that women are doing in the first place, but also I feel like it's also minimizing, like, it's problematic because it's minimizing the genuine issues that women do face in the workplace. Yeah. like the gender pay gap, like having more flexible jobs, having affordable childcare. Like, the reality of women working now is that a lot of them are balancing it with childcare or balancing it with looking after things at home, like, whatever it may be. Work doesn't look the same for men and for women, but
none.
The ideals and like the perception of the workplace that are in people's minds are still so male dominated, and that's what the discussion needs to be about, not wrapping it up in a fluffy pink bow and calling it a girl boss.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And actually, when you look into it, the people who are these kind of girl bosses and they have all these side hustles and stuff, so many of them are people who have had to do that out of necessity or have had to find a way to make an income and still look after their child because they can't afford childcare, or, you know, their job doesn't pay them enough and they need something else. It's not that they woke up one morning and went, oh, you know, I'm going to be a girl boss now. Like, having a t-shirt with girl boss on it doesn't make you any more of a girl boss than having a kid's like doctor's kit makes you a doctor. My fake stethoscope is not getting me a medical degree, you know? So you got to put in the hours, you got to put in the work, and there's no shame in that. And there's no shame in saying, we need a different working environment. And there's no shame in saying, actually, the reason why I started my business was because it was the only way I could work and support my kid. There's no shame in that. And I just wish we could all own that a bit more, because It's really admirable stuff that people are doing. But when we have to wrap it up in a pretty pink bow and slap some merchandising onto it, it takes away from that.
Yeah, I do. When I think about it, when I think of successful women that I know who would, I don't know, be classed as a girl boss, they're not shouting about it. They're not classifying themselves as some sort of girl boss or whatever it is. They've got their head down, they're working hard, they're doing amazing things, and they just want to be recognized for that in their industry. And I think that's why terms like girl boss are so divisive, because it's almost trying to highlight that women are out of place in the workplace, when really what we want is equality. Like, what's going on with the gender pay gap? Like, you can girl boss it all you want, but that's not going to change the fact that women are still paid less than men. I think labeling it, and like you said, just putting this pretty pink bow on it to try and make it something that it isn't, is actually just covering up a whole heap of problems underneath that still really need discussing. I mean, what, the Equal Pay Act was in, 1970?
It was far too long ago for this to still be a problem.
Yeah, and we're still having this conversation. Like, we need to stop saying girl boss. And also, I don't feel like girl boss is a very inclusive term either. I feel like...
Oh, no. Like, if when I think of girl boss, I think of a very specific type of woman, and she doesn't look like many women. Or actually, that's the exact problem. She does look like a lot of women. She's the slim, white, able-bodied girl.
Privileged, yeah.
Girl next door, privileged. Like, that's not what the modern, it's not what any industry's ever looked like, let's be honest. But it's not what businesswomen look like now. It's too elitist.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Like, it's become a hashtag on Instagram. If you look up that hashtag, all of those girls on the top results look the same. And yeah, that isn't what working women look like. And it really just undermines, I think, the hard work that so many people are doing. But also, it's not aspirational or a realistic image of women, because at the end of the day, it's still sexist.
Yeah. And the fact that we have to make women in their careers feel less threatening. I'm sorry, I'm only a threat to you if you're not good at your job. And that's got nothing to do with my gender. It works the other way too. So let's stop playing into the idea that women becoming more powerful is this awful threat, and own that actually we're just good at what we do. We're just qualified. We're just experienced. We've just worked hard, because that's admirable. That's a great thing. And if we can walk into a room and, people who have been in the role for decades are like, oh God, I'm in trouble here. Good. Isn't that incredible that you can make someone feel like that? Not in a vindictive way, just in a, it should be a reminder that you do have a lot of power. We don't need to qualify it and make it seem pretty and feminine. We're allowed our success.
Boss should just become a term that encompasses people in a leadership role in the workplace. It shouldn't have the gender association. And yes, part of that is the patriarchal construction of society, making it seem like it's a word associated with men. But using girl boss to make successful women more palatable is actually just playing into the whole patriarchal construct all over again, that we have to find a way to soften women so it's not offensive. It is literally going to be a vicious circle if we carry on using gendered terms like that.
Yeah, and it also plays into the idea that, look, there's only one type of successful woman. She looks like this. It's a known threat, as it were. This is who you have to look out for. Hardworking, successful women can look like anyone. It's not a term for certain people. That's just not how it works. And it's no shade to the women who do sit on that top page of Instagram when you look at the girl boss hashtag. I think we're all part of a system here, and people could look at us and go, well, you two are complete hypocrites in this. But I just think we need to move away from the idea that you can only be successful in one way as a woman. And if you're not doing it by marriage and kids, you do it in business, and then you still have to fit a certain type of businesswoman, because that's not reality.
Yeah, I think that's really true, actually. I do feel like girl boss and all of those terms do, if we're not careful, they kind of play into that pitting women against each other. I mean, a whole other kettle of fish. That's a conversation for another time. But again, why do we end up in this situation where, I don't know, women are pitted against each other rather than like supporting each other and taking on the real issue, which is inequality and gender discrimination in the workplace, not tearing down other women around you?
Yeah, it really plays into that idea of it just being a catty and bitchy environment. And sure, there are people like that. You're always going to get people like that. But in my experience, generally, there are plenty of people who aren't like that, and a lot of people who are really trying to change that. And it's again, it's like, oh, well, the idea that maybe women won't self-destruct, again, is like another threat. So that's a problem in itself. And you're like, no, it doesn't have to be like that. We can support other people. Like, there can be enough success for it to go around for everyone. Like, if you get a job, you've not taken a job from me, you've just got a job.
Yeah, I think Girl Boss was meant to be inspirational. And I think what we actually need is more female role models in successful positions. Like you said, doesn't have to be one definition of success. It could be being a stay-at-home mum. It could be having your own business. It could be on a board of directors. Like, there's so many different scenarios of being a successful woman. It could be research in a laboratory. Like, do you know what I mean? There's so many different angles of female success now that just having one label isn't inspirational, because it's not a one size fits all. And now I think more than ever, what is actually inspirational is seeing more women in those positions that you never would have seen. You would never even have considered, because you've got the association that it's a position for a man.
Yeah. And it's so powerful. It all links back to that idea, doesn't it? That if you can't see it, you can't be it. Or it's harder to be it, at least. And if we paint every woman in every industry that's successful, or however we're classifying successful, as a girl boss, and they're all prescribing to a certain way of having done things and doing things, you take so many of like the interesting and important and inspirational stories that person has and experiences they have away. And what makes a strong and great workforce is diversity. And that's not just like, that's diversity of opinions and experiences as well. And if we're saying to women, be a girl boss, and this is kind of the facet you can show, and these are the things, like, don't show the struggle though, you know, only like show that you're working late if you can do it while like you're in a pretty top bun and you've got your matching tracksuit on, you're taking away from what actually goes on behind the scenes, and you're discrediting those stories. And it's in that struggle, it's in that hard work that will build the best experience.
Yeah, there's never going to be a conversation about how to become successful as a woman if half of it is covered up under pretense. I think the realities of women in the workforce are still so under discussed and underrepresented that there needs to be more openness about the realities of it. And that's why, I mean, issues like I can't possibly understand or talk about the difficulties of not having affordable childcare, because I've not experienced it yet. But now I'm aware that it is an issue that women face, whereas, I don't know, 5 years ago, it wouldn't have even been something that I considered. I think having more of these conversations like this is far more constructive for women of the future than just saying, be a girl boss in the future, that's how to be successful.
Yeah, it's tangible. It's like when you hear young people say, oh, I want to be an influencer. And I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? Like, what do you actually want? Because a catch-all term like that means nothing. It's completely hollow. And actually the people who you're wanting to be like are people who have carved their own businesses, have multiple titles to their name, have the majority of people have like an arsenal of skills that people train for years, like videographer, photographer, writer, SEO specialist. Like, these are all careers in their own right. So if you mean you want to be someone like that, that's different. Like, don't just have a catch-all term that you think means it's something shiny to go after.
I'd really love to hear other people's thoughts on the term girl boss, how you feel about it, how it makes you feel. So please do get in touch with us. You can do that on our Instagram, which is @growthinprogresspod.
Or you can get in touch via our email address, which is growthinprogresspod@gmail.com. I just think this is such an important conversation for us to be having in terms of what it also means for women in business. And I think it's definitely something we should circle back to generally at a later date. And like we said, we've only become aware of some of these issues because they've directly affected us. So there are tons of stories out there that we just haven't experienced. So please do get in touch. We will be back with you next week. Don't forget to hit subscribe so that you don't miss the episode. And we will speak to you all soon. Bye.
Bye.